There's some pictures I want you to see this morning. Yesterday, a crew of people from our church painted the whole house. We got the whole house painted in one day. I want to say thank you to everybody who showed up and painted. Hopefully floors this week, kitchen and trim the week after that, and by the grace of God, we're going to get this awesome house done. I thank everyone who has given and prayed, and keep praying that we can finish this project sometime before Jesus returns. Dear Heavenly Father, I worship you as the God of sovereign grace. I recognize that there is something beautiful, strong, healthy, and healing in you, and that you're willing to share it with us no matter how life has broken us. And I pray that I could speak about Christ that way today. In Christ's name, amen. There is something insane in all evil. Now, I'm not saying all insanity is evil. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is all evil has insanity in it. Let's look at this. Have you ever seen a child throw a fit? I mean, a real fit. Screaming, yelling, on the ground, flailing. It's a little insane. Am I right? It's a little insane. But it's no more insane than the adult man who's gone nuts in road rage and is screaming and yelling inside the car and throwing all kinds of hand gestures. There's something a little insane in that, too. Can we agree? There's something a little insane in addiction. I've had people who struggled with addiction tell me things that made perfect sense to them, and I'm thinking, you're nuts. Yes, it makes sense to sell the furnace out of my house to buy drugs. There's a little insanity in addiction. There's a little insanity in every lie we tell. There's a little insanity that says, I can lie good enough and no one will know. Just go through human flaws. I mean, just work your way through the list of human flaws. And here's what you're going to find. There is a little insanity in all evil. All right. I don't have to prove it with somebody else. Have you ever said to yourself, why did I do that? Anyone? After the fact, you look back on it and you go, that was crazy. Why did I do that? Or why did I say that? What was I thinking? Church, in all of evil, there is elements of insanity. And if we can accept that, then we're ready to understand the story that Luke told us in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus and his apostles left the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and they sailed about halfway down the lake to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. There was someone there that Jesus heard about and wanted to help. That doesn't surprise you, does it? It might surprise you who it was that he went to help. Luke tells us that the evil in this man hadn't drove him a little insane, it had driven him completely insane. The man was so insane that it made no sense to him to wear clothes. And he was running around everywhere naked. They drove him out of the city, and he lived on a hillside where there were caves that people used for tombs. The man was so insane, he was living in a graveyard. And he would have moments of self-rage where he took sharp stones and cut himself. He was so insane that people around there tried to chain him up. They couldn't have this guy running around naked, howling at the moon, and attacking people. So they chained him up. And then moments of insanity and rage would come over him, and he would break the chains and run out into the desert. A very uncomfortable person to be around. In fact, no one wanted to be around him. And in front of the graveyard that he lived, a road ran from the lake to the city. But nobody could walk on that road anymore because every time they did, this insane man came running down out of the hill and attacked whoever was on the road. His life was out of control. And it was that single man that Jesus sailed across the sea to meet. It was the one nobody wanted to be around that Jesus said, I got to go help that guy. I'm willing to make a special trip to help that guy. His life was plagued by evil in such a way that no one was comfortable around him. Okay, I don't know about you, but if I see some naked guy running down the street, I'm going to avoid him. I'm going to say, that's probably somebody else's problem. And if he's filthy and has gashes all over him, even more so, I'm going to say, that's what the police are for. It makes me uncomfortable to read the story. He couldn't live in a house. They couldn't keep him under guard. He was driven and raging and ugly. But Christ said, I know no one else wants to be around you. I choose to be around you. Church, is it true that in some ways our lives are all touched by evil? Is it true that whether we want them to or not, evil thoughts pop into our mind from time to time? Is it true that our hearts hold evil that we're not even comfortable with ourselves. Is it true that if people could see and hear our thoughts, we might not be so proud? Church, if all of that is true, this is equally true. I don't care how much evil has touched you, you're never too far for Christ. You're never too far. Evil has never pushed you so far. No matter what regret you have, no matter what sorrow you have, no matter what guilt you have, no matter what shame you have, you're never too far for Christ. You're never too broken. You're never too ugly. You're never too disgusting. You're never too far for Christ. I would like to add to that, there are people in your life that you've given up on. You've given up on them. You see them as a little nuts. You don't want to be around them. They've disappointed you too many times. They've said things that hurt you. They didn't keep their deal. And you would just as soon avoid them. Can I tell you this? They're not too far from Christ. If you've given up on them, it doesn't mean that Christ has. In fact, I want to make this very, very clear. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call sinners. Jesus said, as he looks at humanity, as he sees us all as we really are, he said, if you are absolutely certain that you're all right the way you are, I'm not really sure what I can do for you. But if you are sure that you need help, that you need forgiveness, that you need grace, Christ said, I'm exactly what you need. Church, I find it interesting that when Jesus got out of the boat, he started down this road. It was the road that the insane man attacked everybody who was on. He saw somebody on his road. He came running down there, and he planned to attack Jesus and the guys like he did everybody else. But suddenly, this wasn't like everybody else. And the reality and the presence of Jesus Christ tamed him. Because when he got to Christ, the scripture says, he fell down before him. The one that no one else could control. The one that couldn't be bound and couldn't be chained. Christ, without lifting a finger, calmed. I want you to know that evil has no power against Jesus Christ. Whatever power it has, it is insignificant to the power of Jesus Christ. Whatever control it has collapses when the true one in control appears. Evil in our lives is only as strong as we are far from Christ. Because the closer we get to Christ, the less power, the less convincing, the less compelling evil is. Don't you know it's true? When you're close to Christ, evil just doesn't look that good. When you're far from Christ, evil looks better and better and better. And it has more and more control. So the man runs up and throws himself down in front of Jesus Christ. And the first thing he says is, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." I find this very, very interesting. The evil that had been tormenting this poor man for years, the evil that had driven him from his family, the evil that made him unfit for society, the evil that plagued him and tormented every day of his life, that evil said to Jesus, "Please don't torment me." There is a little insanity in all evil, and you see it here again. And so Jesus said to this wrecked man, "What is your name?" And the man said, "My name is Legion, because I'm full of many kinds of evil. I recognize I'm not fit to be on the earth, but please don't cast me into the abyss." There are many kinds of evil, church. Let me tell you what evil is. Evil is an emptiness in me where God belongs. And because there's an emptiness in me that I try to fill, I try to fill it with all the wrong stuff. And that's the nature of evil. I'm trying to put the hollowness of bad behavior in the place of my soul where Christ belongs. Church? I try to put enough drugs into that place where Christ belongs that the hollow feeling goes away. I try to put enough of this or enough of that. Evil is everything I do to satisfy my soul, that part of my soul that can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. And ironically, there's no atheism in evil. Do you see what the evil says to Jesus? "I know who you are. You're Jesus, the Son of God Most High." Hey, church, I find it very interesting that evil, in all of its insanity, is sane enough to recognize Christ. And often, we, in all of our sanity, don't recognize him. Can you hear this, church? And so, Jesus said to the evil that was in the man, "You can't stay here anymore. You got to go." And he permitted the evil that was in that man to pass out of that man and to pass into a herd of pigs. And even the pigs couldn't stand it, and they ran down a hill into the lake and drowned. With evil gone, the man is restored. Do you hear this? Everything that had ruined him, Jesus fixed. Everything that had broken him, Jesus fixed. And the people who were feeding the pigs, they ran into the city, they got everybody and said, "Hey, somebody just showed up and cured the maniac, and you got to come and see it." and all the city ran out to see it. And when they got there, this guy that had been insane and raving, they found him seated quietly at the feet of Jesus Christ. And he had some clothes on. Now it made sense to wear clothes. And he was in his right mind. Listen, listen. Everything that is broken in me, Christ is able to fix. Everything that is broken in you, Christ is able to fix. The issue is, you got to put yourself before him to fix it.
All the mistakes in my life I can't ignore. I want to get away, the clothes gone from my drawer.
If you can be honest with yourself today, you can have a freedom within your soul you've never had. But you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be as honest with yourself as this poor man was. He knew he was helpless without Christ. He had no illusions. He wasn't playing the game, well, I'm going to go somewhere, wash up, put on some clean clothes, stop raving, stop being so crazy, then I'm going to go see Jesus. He wasn't thinking that way anymore. He was way beyond that. He said, I can't get better until I run to Jesus and he sets me free. I can't. Everybody in this room has issues in your heart and mind that you wrestle with. We all do. Every single one of us. And if you're living with the myth that someday you're going to overcome that all by yourself, and then you'll say to Jesus, I feel good enough to be around you, you're never going to get better. There's one way to get better, and that's to go to Christ exactly the way you are right now, because he's the one who makes us better. I'd like to speak to some of you who you have a civilized form of evil. You look at this guy and you say, that's not me. I'm not that nuts. I got a lot of friends. I have family. I wear nice clothes. I live in a respectable neighborhood. That guy isn't me. I have to be careful when I think that way, because this story has a real ironic twist on it. And you who are Bible readers know that even though Jesus Christ radically changed this man, and everybody could see it, the people in the town said, you know, we really don't want you around here. Thanks, but no thanks. Why don't you get in your boat and go? That's what happened. They couldn't see that they had a need for Christ themselves. They said, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm all right the way I am. And because they saw no need in themselves, they felt no inclination to have Christ around. Do you know there is a civilized form of evil that is so insane that it convinces the human soul, I'm all right. I'm fine. Christ has no trouble with me. Church, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The prophet said, the heart is sinful and desperately wicked. Ironically, the man who everybody said was too far gone for help, he got help. And the people that everybody said, hey, they're pretty good, Christ just needs to polish them up a little bit, they got no help. And the same thing is true today. Some of you came to church today, you didn't expect Christ to confront you. You thought you would come in, go through a nice ritual, and you would slip out. But he's meeting you today the very same way as he met that broken man all those years ago. He's meeting you this morning exactly where your heart is. And he's saying, my grace is sufficient. He's saying, my forgiveness is complete. He's saying, I'm going to give to you a righteousness you don't have by works. I'm going to give you a righteousness that only comes by faith. And I hope you're not like the people of the town who say to Christ today, I just don't feel like I need that. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm not nuts. I go to work. I treat my family decent. Church, I'm not judging myself by the flawed world around me. I'm judging myself by the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when I stand myself up to the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ, I see myself spiritually in the same way that Luke shows the man physically. Do you get that? I see myself spiritually as needy as that man was physically. I don't want Christ to go anywhere without helping me. I don't want him to go anywhere without forgiving me, without giving me grace, without renewing my heart and my mind. I want the best that Christ has to offer the human soul today. And I don't want to get in the car and go home until something of that grace touches me. Church. Several weeks ago, we studied Jesus and the thief on the cross. They had something in common. They were both suffering the agony of the cross. And Jesus said to that broken man, today you'll be with me in the garden, in paradiso. Last week, the image was a father and a son. The son had wandered far away. He had squandered everything. His life was a wreck. But his father was still his father. And he restored him instantly. Luke's story this week is not like those two stories. Jesus and this man had nothing in common. The man was insane. Jesus was infinitely wise. The man was overwhelmed by evil, and there was nothing but pure, righteous deity in Jesus Christ. The man's life was broken and didn't work. Christ's life was healthy and thrived. No one wanted to be around this guy, and Jesus drew a crowd everywhere he went. They had nothing in common. But that day, Jesus Christ gave that man grace and righteousness, and they had something in common. It was the gift of Christ to the man. If you come here today and worry that you don't have enough in common with Jesus Christ, I'm telling you what you need to have in common with him is what he gives you, sovereign saving grace, divine forgiveness, imputed righteousness. And so Jesus looked around at the crowd who wasn't interested in his help. He said, okay, I'll go. And they started walking back to the boat. And the man who had been restored, he ran alongside Jesus and said, I want to go with you. Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. You see, the more I'm around Christ, the more I want to be around him. The more I sense him in my life, the more I need to sense him in my life. There's something so beautiful and excellent about Christ that when you're around him, you always want to be around him. And Jesus said to this restored man, he said, no, you can't come with me. I've got something more important for you to do. I want you to go home and tell everybody you know what God has done for you. And so if you read this story, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You can read it in all three of the Gospels. And in the three Gospels, they all share this idea. The man went around Decapolis telling to everyone what Christ had done for him. The man whose life was wrecked and restored became profoundly influential. He changed people's lives. Do you see this? When Christ heals you, you become a partner with him in healing others. When Christ forgives you, you become a partner with him in forgiving others. When Christ strengthens you, you become a partner with him in strengthening others. When Christ makes you better, everything around you gets better. Can you hear this, church? The man who everybody said was beyond hope, the man who everybody had written off, became the most influential guy in Decapolis. And in the meantime, the people who didn't want Christ and didn't need him around, you never hear about him again. They fall out of the pages of history. Do you hear this? God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we are able to ask or think. And he's able to make the world better by making us better. But we have to run to him. We have to be healed by him. We have to be forgiven by him. We have to be restored by him. Then, we become a force for good in the world. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care what regret you have, what secret shame you carry in your heart. None of it is greater than the grace of Jesus Christ. None of it is as strong as his forgiving love. None of it is beyond his capacity to heal. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Church. And so this morning, I offer you Christ. And Christ offers you himself. And he is the answer to everything that is broken inside of us. He is the healing for everything that is wounded inside of us. And he's also the restorer of the relationships around us. Our dear Heavenly Father, I call upon your name. I know that your Spirit whispers to our hearts in different ways. And I pray for those this morning in this room and online who can hear your whispers. They can hear you. Something in their inner soul is saying yes to you. Something is saying, please be gracious to me. Please forgive me. Please heal me. Please restore me. Please deliver me from the evil thoughts that haunt my heart and mind. I pray that you would hear their prayer of faith this morning and that you would be all that Jesus Christ was to this poor broken man. Then I pray that these good people would go out of here holy, healthy, strong, good, upright, Christ-like, ready to make a difference in the world around them. In Christ's name, amen.